And the enemy will do all kinds of things. He'll roll you out of bed in the middle of the night, or he may cause things to happen in your life that make you skip church, or he may even give you a promotion at work that sucks up all of your time. The enemy is very clever. He will find all kinds of ways to divert your attention from that which we are supposed to be concentrating on. So this whole idea of suffering, although it's not very appealing to us, Paul's going to tell us this morning that suffering is kind of part of the program. So the trouble that you run into in your life, there's actually good news in that trouble if we look closely at it. So let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless the reading of your word. We would bless the time that we spend together, and that you would speak the message that you would have us hear. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have breakfast every Tuesday morning with a men's group. I've been in this group for like 20 plus years. And last time I was there, they had invited a new fellow, which I had never met before. And we were sitting next to each other, and I introduced myself. We were chatting. And he was telling me how he really adheres to the prosperity gospel. And the prosperity gospel, in short, is this concept that once you become a Christian, everything should be great. You're going to get things, and your life's going to be perfect. And we're just a bunch of guys. I don't go there as the pastor. It's just one of the guys. So, you know, I just kind of gently pointed him to some passages, and it was interesting that this week's topic is really about that. The idea that becoming a Christian and a follower of Christ and your life is suddenly going to become rosy just isn't supported in Scripture. In fact, if you go back to the early church, the last thing you wanted to do if you wanted to have a peaceful life with no trouble, the last thing you would want to do is to get involved with this new followers of Christ thing, because that was not an easy life to live. So when we talk about suffering, Paul's talking about wanting suffering, it doesn't seem very logical, and yet that's what Paul's going to be saying here. The fact is, the Bible repeatedly tells us about the suffering. In John 16:3, it says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart because I have overcome the world." What Christ is saying right there is, look, you know, things are going to get tough for you if you follow me. It's not easy, but don't worry. I've already won. I've already defeated death. If you are one of my followers, so have you. He also says again in 1 Thessalonians, "For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass and just as you know." So affliction is kind of part of the equation. And then finally, again in John, "If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you." You know, the Bible says that we use language like to be in Christ, to be indwelt with the Holy Spirit, to be one with Christ. In fact, the Bible says that Paul talks in another place about having been dead with Christ and raised with Christ. So we are to identify with Christ. And if we are to identify with Christ, we need to look at the life that he lived. And he lived a short three-year ministry. We don't know about his earlier life, but we know that in his short three-year ministry, things were not easy. Because he was preaching something that was counter to the culture. And I tell you today, in 2019, the Christian faith seems more and more to be counter to our culture. So what are we going to do? Are we going to go with the flow? Are we going to take the easy path? Are we going to try to have a Christian faith that doesn't really offend anybody so that we don't get into arguments with people? Are we going to try to find a way to be Christian, to be a follower of Christ, and to be comfortable in the world? I tell you the truth that those things are mutually incompatible. So when Paul talks about suffering, it's not that he wants to suffer. It's just that he knows that that's part of it. In fact, he knows that as the more and more and more that Paul does the ministry of the Lord, the more and more suffering comes upon him, but then more and more he's successful. So he's telling these Philippians, who are good people, they're doing a pretty good job. He wants to encourage him. Just like then, we live in an increasingly hostile world. Amen? People really are irate when we say Jesus is the only way to heaven. You ever said that to somebody and they get really bent out of shape? Well, there's lots of ways to heaven. How many of you have ever heard that statement, just out of curiosity? Well, there's lots of ways to heaven. Well, there's many paths to heaven. I spent a couple of years teaching a comparative religion class, and it was a secular school. So, you know, I made it clear that, you know, I'm a Baptist minister, but I'm just going to tell you what the others believe. Out of the five major religions, the object of living forever and getting to heaven is really not part of the equation. It's not, you know, in the Eastern religions, the goal is to become nothing, to merge and become one with the universe. So this idea that there's many, many ways to heaven, most of the major world religions don't even believe in heaven. So people who say that to you are really just trying to get a rise out of you. So we could be quiet. We could not say anything, but that's not what we're called to do. In John 15:20, Jesus said, "The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you." Now, sometimes I get frustrated because I forget things, and I'm hoping the lady running the slides doesn't start laughing, because I do have a tendency to forget things. I can meet somebody that I know really well. I know them, and I can remember the last conversation we had with them, and I can ask them about their life and the last thing we talked about, and all the time in my head I'm going, name, 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 name. It's a flaw. But sometimes it's not a bad idea to forget things. Sometimes it's not a bad idea to forget things, because remembering the wrong things sometimes separates you from the Lord and sometimes keeps people from coming to the Lord. Being unable to remember can be a frustration. However, there's a time when forgetfulness is a good thing. As Christians, Jesus wants to forget some things. Let's go to our text. You are in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 through 11. Let's look at 1 through 6. "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh." Let me pause right there for just a second. So what is it? That's pretty harsh. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. So in the world that Jesus is speaking into, there are not only are there the non-believers, the pagans, who are anti-Christian, there are Christians who try to come up with their own version of the gospel. During this time period, there were people, and you can read about this in Galatians, where some people who had become followers of Christ insisted that new believers, if they weren't Jewish, had to get circumcised in order to become a Christian. So it was a big controversy. You know, you got to do that. And they finally got that squared away. So the mutilators of the flesh is kind of referring to that. But it says that, "For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, put no confidence in the flesh." We are the circumcision in the sense of we are those who are marked and set apart for God because we worship Christ in spirit, not in flesh. So our flesh, the flesh that he's talking about here is this worldly nature that we do. Now, Paul says, "Although I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone also thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more." And he goes on to recount his credentials, right? He says, "I was circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless." So he's recounting all of this stuff. He lists these accomplishments. He was the perfect Jew. He had been circumcised. It was a requirement for Hebrew men. He was a Pharisee. I mean, he knew the law. He was blameless in the law. That just meant that he followed very rigidly all the tenets of the faith. I would question that, because at this time there was, the Pharisees had come up with 630 different laws that you had to fulfill. So, who knows? He'd been so zealous in his belief in Judaism that he was out persecuting Christians, because he believed, now this is to his credit, he was so passionate for God in the way he was passionate for God at the time. He was so passionate for God that he looked at these Christians as blasphemers. And so he was out persecuting them. So what he's telling the Philippians, hey, you know, if you want to talk about my flesh, my worldly accomplishments, I'm like at the top of the heap. In other words, other Hebrew people would have seen Paul as a very successful Jew. Yet Paul is going to go on to say that nothing he has done in his past is worth remembering. Nothing in his past is worth remembering. He doesn't celebrate in all of these things. He counts all of those accomplishments, as we'll see, he calls it rubbish, that I may gain Christ. So let's look at what he said. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Now, here's a place where you really need to look to what it's saying in the original language. Paul is saying all of this really cool stuff that he just enumerated about himself, all of these accomplishments, all of these badges of honor.